to the Smart Women Publish podcast. I'm your host, Bev Ryan. I love helping smart women write and publish nonfiction books that really have impact in the world. I'm also the author of the book Smart Women Publish, which has kind of led directly or indirectly to this podcast series. Today, I'm talking with Debbie Lee, Senior Manager, Content Acquisition and Business Development with Ingram Spark, which is part of a bigger organisation, Lightning Source. So, Debbie, please tell us a little bit more about, first of all, the business you work with.
Thanks so much, Bev. It's really a pleasure to be speaking with you and in this very advanced capacity of a podcast. As you mentioned, I am the Senior Manager of Content Acquisition and Business Development with, well, Lightning Source Australia is the official name of the company. We're part of Ingram Content Group, and Ingram Spark is a platform within that organisation. And what we do is print on demand and global distribution for publishers of all shapes and sizes. So publishers that are multinationals based overseas, publishers that are Australian grown, publishers that are basically, you know, one book wonders without, you know, meaning that in a pejorative way. But anyone, an indie author or a multinational publisher, can utilise our system and create one book or as many books as they want.
Yeah, it's a fantastic business. I refer people to all the time. I use Ingram Spark with my clients. So within your job then, what do you do?
Oh, wow, it's really varied. But basically I work with publishers to make it a seamless process as possible in the ingestion of their files, just to inform them about what we do and how we make books available in real time. You know, within 3 to 5 days you can have a book printed and then shipped to anywhere in the world. So it's really about disseminating the information and, of course, working with my colleagues overseas. Because we're a multinational, the head office is based in Nashville, but we also have a facility in the UK. So I actually report into the UK, but I work really closely with counterparts in the US and the UK. And from those three bases, including Australia, we have publishers all over the world. And the other thing that we do, and I'm probably going to come to this a little bit longer in more detail, is we work with retailers. We make publishers' books available to the retail market. So all up, we have something like 30,000 publishers with their titles in our system. They all have their own account and they upload their files. And we have about 40,000 retail partners. Now, that includes online retailers, physical booksellers, library suppliers, other wholesalers, institutions, the full gamut of anybody that wants to buy a book from Ingram. And if they have access to those publishers' titles, the publishers are in charge of that, whether or not they want those book, their titles to be available to that retail sector. But that is, you know, something that we facilitate.
Mm. So it's a big, big world. And I know a lot of people who may be listening to this are just putting the toes in the water with self-publishing. So let's clarify. When you use the word publisher, let's clarify that between a traditional publishing company, which I'm sure you do look after, and self-publishers.
Just to focus on the self-publisher, because that is your market, and it's also a huge part of what we do, and that sort of brings me back to Ingram Spark, and I guess it's just to keep it more streamlined, that's where the focus should be, and that's going to be most interest to the people that listen to the podcast, the people that you're working with, the people that we work with a huge amount, particularly in Australia. So, you know, as I say, we work with all publishers, but I refer to a self-publisher, an indie author, as a publisher. We don't make a distinction. As far as we're concerned, anyone that opens up an account with Ingram Spark is a publisher, and they're a customer of ours or a client of ours. And the reason they're opening up an account, which is free of charge, by the way, you just go online and look up Ingram Spark and you know, there'll be all sorts of information there. That's where you set up your account. It's to upload your files and to be able to print your book. And that doesn't exclude you from printing a book with an offset printer, you know, a regular printer. But what it does do is it enables you to print one book at a time or only ever print what you need. So gone are the days where you had to print 1,000 copies or more to get your economies of scale, because that often means you're actually printing 1,000 copies. It sounds like a good idea, but actually selling them is really difficult. This way, you print as you need, and you can also access the retail market that is part of our network. So it sort of it creates, it's democratized the publishing industry. It's actually enabled authors who may have sought a mainstream publisher contract, but that can be really elusive. It enables them to actually do it themselves. And it also enables people that are publishing not necessarily to sort of appeal to the mass market, but for their own business purposes, for example, because they've got something to promote to their clientele and they want to be able to encapsulate it in a book as a, basically a book is a new calling card in a business capacity. And it might just be that they only want to, you know, print 50 copies to sell to their clients or hand to their clients as a business promotion tool. That's where Spark has become, you know, one of the areas in which Spark has become a really, really popular, accessible platform. And it's really the only immediate platform that people can sort of produce a top quality book in a variety of formats, just like a mainstream publisher. If you want paperback, hardback, ebook, if you want full colour, if you want cream stock or white stock, there's a whole variety of choices. You're not limited. You're only, you know, limited in the sense that we don't do embossing and spot lam and those sorts of fancy things that an offset printer might do, which becomes more expensive anyway.
Yeah. So there's so many things we can talk about here, but just to sort of to clarify for listeners, what I find really exciting when I'm talking to a business owner who is about to publish a book I explained about Ingram Spark and I said, look, you are now a publisher as well as being a business owner and an author. You're also, by setting up this account and being able to go in and order your own books and also request that your books distributed all over the world and you've got control of that, you are a publisher. So it's pretty exciting. It's a really exciting world. And it's, in the work I do, I don't, even though I set the accounts up, I set them up in the author's name and it's a service I provide. They retain full ownership of the book and 100% of the royalties, that sort of thing. So it's a whole new world. And when people haven't had anything to do with publishing in the past, this whole concept of someone buying the book on Amazon and the order comes back to Ingram Spark, they print the book, they ship the book, it's pretty cool.
And you've absolutely nailed it, Bev, because that's what we recommend to, you know, it used to be quite a number of authors would contact us directly and say, I've got a manuscript, can you help me? And we'd say, look, we don't produce the files, but we would recommend what we call author service providers, which is how we would refer to you. And those author service providers are experts with production of, you know, PDF files that comply with our platform requirements. And they might themselves be a designer or they might be an editor, but generally they've got other contacts that they work with to sort of, you know, make sure that the book is produced to the most professional standards as with a mainstream publisher. So an indie author or an author publisher is the new term that is, I think, really demonstrative of the fact that indie authors have come of age because you're both an author and a publisher, but you're employing experts to produce the files because that might not be your expertise. And also you need some distance from the process. You know, as the writer, the person that's, you know, collated the information, done the research, pulled it all together, and then, molded that book into something that they're going to be very proud of. You're not expected to be the designer and the editor and the proofreader and the cover artist. That's why you employ a professional, an author service provider, that will create the most fabulous looking book and will work with you because you're employing them. So you're in charge of that process. They'll say to you, what sort of fonts do you like and what sort of, you know, trim size do you like, and sort of guide the author publisher in making the right decisions, but it's still under their ultimate control. So it's a real collaboration, if you like. And then we're just at the end of that line. We're at the point where the file's been created, the author's happy, the author service provider has provided all that production support, and when you've got the PDF file, you upload it into the account. And as you were saying, you're helping them maybe set up their Ingram Spark account, you're helping them upload their file in the first instance or giving it to them and guiding them, and then off they go. They can print as many as they need and they can also make the book available to the retail market just by applying price points for the different regions, and that is the message to us to send the metadata out Do you want me to go into that little?
Yeah, I'd love you to. Yes.
How that all works?
Yes, please.
It's kind of, you know, complex to begin with, but once you start playing with the system, it sort of all falls into place. But effectively, as an author and, you know, a publisher, you've uploaded your files into the system. When you apply pricing, so just say you've done a business book and you look at other titles that are similar in terms of extent and market, and you think, well, I should price it at, say, $29.95 RRP for the Australian market. You put in a list price that's ex-GST. So the $29.95 would be, I think, $27.23. In our system, we feed it out to the retailers. You also, as the author publisher who holds the Ingram Spark account, you also need to apply a discount. And we'd recommend, say, 40% for a professional book, or maybe 50% if you want it to appeal to a broad mass market audience. Ingram takes a little commission as the distributor on the retailer's margin, but that 50% is what the retailer gets, less our distribution fee. You get back on a sale your net receipts, which is your list price, less the discount, less the cost of print. So if you're getting back $15 and the book cost $8 to print, you'll get back $7 on that sale. And that's called your publisher compensation, and that comes up as a sale in your account, you know, so you can actually look it up and see how many books have sold in a given month, and then 90 days later you actually get the payment into your bank account, which makes it sound really simple, and it actually is.
Yes, I can imagine. I can only imagine the complexity of setting it all up, but it's an amazing system to use. Yeah. From this end, you know, my own book, Smart Women Publish, is listed with you, and and you're my preferred printer, because now I just order a box of books when I need them. So I don't have huge stock. I just order the books within 5-6 days. They're here. It's very fast,
which is really great. And you know, it's really nice to talk to you as a user, and you know, that you understand how it works. And the other thing that you're probably aware of is that whilst you'll always want to keep a box of books if you're the proud author, you'll always want to have a you know, 10 or 20 books at your disposal, because you're out and about talking to people, whether it's running workshops, whether it's an incidental conversation, whether you're, you know, at the markets, or whether you're actually hand selling to retailers yourself, which, you know, some local bookstores with whom you might have a friendship, and you know, you might be a local patron, they're usually happy to carry a couple of titles even on consignment with their local authors if you've got that relationship. But the other thing you can do is, if someone actually orders it from you, and they live, you know, across the other side of the country, you can place the order through your account and we deliver it. So it just depends on the delivery address that you put in when you place the order, and we'll deliver it to Perth or Adelaide or wherever it is. It can be anywhere in Australia or New Zealand, and we'll print it here and we'll deliver it to that end address. So you're not double handling. So, you know, rather than you know, sending it from your precious stock that you have at home, you know, it's probably cheaper for us to just print and ship, and you sell your stock more locally. The other thing to note is that we can ship anywhere in the world. So it's not just Australia and New Zealand. The Australian print facility based here in Melbourne prints for that region. But if you want to send a copy of a book to someone in the US or South America, so North America or South America, you select US as the print location. Or if you want to send a copy of your book to someone who's ordered it from you, but you know, and they're either in Asia, Africa, Middle East, or Europe, you select the UK as the print location. And that means that it will route to that facility to print, and you're not incurring the same exorbitant freight fees as if you were sending it from Australia.
Awesome. I love it. So just explain to us more detail perhaps how book owners or bookstore owners, libraries, whatever, what are they logging into to find my book, for example? How would they find my book and decide to stock it on their bookstore shelves?
Okay, so there's various ways that we feed the metadata out to the retailers. So all the information, when you upload your file, and you have to sort of fill in various fields. So the fields are the title, the blurb, the author, the ISBN, the price, everything, even keywords and quotes that you might have received from pre-publication reviews, those sorts of things, those sort of nuggets of information are really critical, and that's all referred to collectively as the metadata. So when, and there's also BISAC codes, which is the library cataloging codes. They're drop-down fields that will categorise your book, whether it's fiction, non-fiction, romance, YA. There's all sorts of fields, and you nominate the way that you want to describe your book, because that's the discoverability. That makes the book discoverable to market. The key thing is you can upload all that metadata. If you don't apply pricing, we don't feed that out to retailers, because some publishers only want their book to be printed by them. They don't want to be, you know, selling it to the broader market. But once you've applied pricing in Australian dollars, US dollars, British pound, euro, Canadian, you can choose also which markets you want to feed, you want to sell to. You don't have to put the pricing in all markets, but, you know, we do recommend that you make the book as available as possible by pricing for all markets and pricing to market. What that means is you don't just convert your Australian dollar price. You actually look at what book would cost in a similar book would cost in the US, for example, and you price accordingly. So with that preamble, once you've got that pricing up there, we send the metadata out as a catalogue feed via Ingram's own catalogue, which is called iPage, to all the retailers that I mentioned before. That's including library supplies and wholesalers and institutions and bookshops that are physical and bookshops that are online. We feed the metadata out via iPage and via Onyx Files to online retailers and via another catalogue feed in Australia and UK called Nielsen. So retailers can look up the title. If someone comes into a shop and says, I want a book by Bev Ryan, I think it's about women in business, that's enough information for them to look that up, and up will come the title. It might be, you know, maybe you need a bit more information, do a little bit deeper of a search, but up will come Smart Women Publish. If the customer is given enough information. So it's just, you know, if they've got an ISBN, you'll definitely get a hit. If you put in Smart Women Publish and there's a few books in that, with that sort of title or those words, maybe you'll get a few titles, but then you can drill down and say, oh, that's the one by Bev. And then they can order the book, and that order will come through to Ingram from the retailer. They pay us, and then we deduct the cost of print from that sale, and we pay the author. So that's sort of, so the feed is sort of like, that's the trick, I guess. That's the key to what Ingram does that's different from any other printer. Ingram is actually a distributor. It's the largest wholesaler of books in the world, and it has, you know, the most, I guess, retail customers of any other wholesaler distributor. And we have that metadata from all the books that are in our system, and any retailer, whether they use iPage or Nielsen or they receive an Onyx feed, they can actually look up a title and order it from us.
Mm. Okay, so a question about bookstores in Australia. A year or so ago, many people would know that the book distribution company Dennis Jones had to wind up. Mm-hmm. So as an author, we don't have to find a book distribution company that trucks our books to the store. Like bookstore owners, if there's enough demand for a book, they could get it from you and put it on their shelves.
Yeah, so it's a really complex, proposition, because the distributor does have certain cachet with retailers, because retailers don't necessarily want to order directly from authors unless there's a relationship. And, having a distributor like Dennis Jones, I mean, it was a great shame that he had to close, but, that is also a sign of the times. So things are changing in this publishing industry, but, print on demand is actually a steady partner, if you like. It's actually growing in its foothold on the market, because we do feed direct. You don't have to have a distributor like in the past. But what the distributor was doing was making your book more visible by highlighting it in their catalogue, because they have direct relationships with retailers, and then they place the order with us a lot of the time. But now it will just say Lightning Source Australia as the distributor on the feed, and the retailers will come to us. But it doesn't mean that they'll automatically know about your book. It just means that they can look up a title. So, you know, certainly with B2, Booktopia and Amazon and Book Depository, there you can see your book highlighted because that's an online website. But a physical bookseller won't necessarily know about your book unless someone comes in and asks for it or you've gone to them and promoted it. And that way they might take a few copies speculatively, but that's a risk that they have to bear because in Australia we don't offer sale or return. We just offer non-returnable or return destroy as the options for retailers. So they're not going to, you know, fill a shelf with a local title unless they know it's going to sell.
There's demand for it, that's right. And I guess if you look at it this way, as an author, if your book is in a bookstore, you're actually visible to a much smaller segment of the population than if it's online and you are doing a lot more activity online to make it visible. So potentially you've got a much greater reach.
Absolutely.
Through online activities.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in your area where you're working with authors who are actually business savvy, they're probably quite proactive on social media. They might have their own e-commerce transactions, so they'll have the title available on their website and be able to transact that sale. But then they just go into their account and they place an order via Ingram Spark, and they actually put the dropship delivery address so the customer gets the book directly from the Melbourne facility. And that will all happen, as you mentioned, within, you know, 3 to 5 days printing, 3 to 5 days for delivery to most locations, allow 10 for New Zealand or WA. But and you can hasten the process by selecting a higher service level. So, you know, there's various options. So we can print overnight and we can ship overnight. Obviously, you have to pay more for that. But if something was really urgent, that can be done as well.
So you just mentioned a few. Could you explain which online book retailers that you feed books to? You mentioned Booktopia. What are the other ones in Australia?
Amazon Australia and also Fishpond, which is New Zealand-based, but there's also the Nile, so they receive an Onyx feed. They're otherwise known as Mercury, so I get a bit confused whether it's Mercury, the Nile, but I think they're known in sort of layman's terms as the Nile. There's a whole lot of online retailers that do take a feed from us that will distribute or, you know, make the books that are available in our system accessible to market.
Because sometimes authors will be looking online through another book distributor or book company, bookseller online, and they'll see their book and they sort of feel, hang on, who's done that? Who's given them permission? But it's come by your catalogue, hasn't it?
Correct.
Yes. So the end result is the money goes back to their account, back to their bank account eventually.
That's exactly right.
Yes. Nice. So with ebooks, I know you offer the option then of ebook distribution as well. So where, if I was to upload my ebook into Ingram Spark, where's that going to end up?
Okay, so it's an EPUB, and we also allow fixed format, although that only goes to a couple of retailers. But with Ingram Spark, your EPUB can go to about 20 online retailers. That includes Booktopia and Amazon and Apple. Amazon and Apple are both optional. They're separate contracts. If you choose to upload directly to Amazon and Apple, you wouldn't, you don't have to sign up to them. But most people just say, look, it's a one-stop shop. We want our book to go out to everybody, Amazon, Apple, and the 20 other online retailers. And that way your EPUB is, and it's just an EPUB and a JPEG cover. So, you know, work with an author service provider, let them know that you want the ebook as well as the print files to be uploaded to your Ingram Spark account. And that way you're getting the broadest possible exposure. And again, we transact the sale on behalf of the publisher and we pay the publisher for those sales 90 days after the sale has occurred. So anything that's occurred within a month, at the end of that month, you will get paid 90 days later, but you'll get the reportage pretty much at the end of each month in terms of sales. So that includes Apple, and Apple is one of the online retailers that accepts fixed file format, and you'd only use fixed file format if you were doing a particularly sort of illustrated book. There's something like a cookbook or a children's book, you might want fixed file format. If it's got sort of illustrations and content that you want to retain on the same page. Otherwise, an EPUB is perfect for your average non-fiction business book, and EPUB, which is reflowable and can sort of convert to whatever platform it's being read on, is the best option because it goes out to all the online retail partners that we have.
Cool. So just one last question on around this and we'll move on. With Amazon, I know up until this point I've been uploading ebooks with Amazon as Kindle. So you're saying through Ingram Spark we could be putting ebooks onto Amazon.
Exactly. And Amazon will convert it to Mobi, so you don't need to do anything in that regard. But you can have a look at some information online about Ingram Spark and ebooks. There's a little bit more to it because if you actually upload an ebook to Amazon Direct, then you technically can't use Spark for the distribution of that ebook.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Okay. All right. So I'll look into that further in terms of what I can do for my clients. No, that's really good. So one thing I'm really interested in is new developments in book production. So I noticed recently that Ingram is now offering a new kind of hardcover version. So let's have a chat about that.
Yeah. So as mentioned, we do hardback and we do paperback and we do two types of hardback. One's just a case laminate, which is where the cover emulates the paperback and it's sort of on a hard cardboard backing. So it's called case laminate and, that's one type. And then there's the new digital cloth, which looks like a cloth-covered book, and usually it would come with a dust cover as well. You don't have to use the dust cover as well, but that's what most people do. And the digital cloth looks, you can have it in grey or navy. In the past, it's been a cloth product and now it's like a case laminate that's designed to look like cloth, and it has you can choose to also have a gold embossed spine, the title on the spine of the book in gold. So that's actually a nice feature, and it just has that sort of element of elegance about it. And it depends on the type of book, but we do actually advise people, make your book available in as many formats as possible, so paperback, hardback, whether that be case laminate or digital cloth with dust cover, and ebook, because you don't know how people are going to want to read your book in what format they're going to want to read it.
I think I did read in one of your company's blogs or whatever that, or an e-newsletter, that when people have uploaded the hardcover copies or made the hardcovers available, that they've sold quite well. So I guess that's the thing, is just they have to be available because you won't know otherwise.
Exactly. And I think it depends on the market. Certainly, again, with business books, they tend to be a pretty standard trim size, might be 6x9 or in that sort of, realm, and it might be paperback with white stock. But if it's a sort of, special edition or something that you all, actually libraries in the US and the UK prefer case laminate hardback for durability. So there's all sorts of reasons, but if you want the book to be more of a sort of gift book, certainly the digital cloth with the dust cover can look really, really special. So, and then you price accordingly because obviously that's going to cost more to print.
Which leads me on to the other useful things you have on your website, which are calculators. Now, talking about dust cover design, obviously within your resources on your website you'll have some sort of templates or advice about the sizes that you would need to, that your designer would need to make your cover if you want it to be a dust cover that folds. Is that right?
Yeah, so there's the cover template generator that will drop down once you've uploaded all the metadata and you've uploaded the content file. The cover template generator is really important for getting the spine width correct, and of course the dust cover is part of that. And, that's where the author service provider becomes so integral to the process as well, because there's quite a lot to think about. But and the other thing is, as you mentioned, the calculators, which will show you the cost of whether it's a dust cover case laminate book or a dust cover with the digital cloth or a paperback, depending on trim sizes. Some trim sizes aren't available in every format. And some trim sizes, the other option is to have colour on the internals versus black and white. And that can even be effective for a business book if you want to just have a little bit of colour to kind of create a little bit more of an effect, and for pedagogical reasons, to highlight headings or tables and that sort of thing. And there are three different types of colour that you can choose from. So for a business book with just a little bit of colour, you'd probably just go the standard, which is the most economical, but it has impact. But if you're doing a children's book, obviously, you might want to go to the premium. If that's a bit more cost, a bit too expensive, you'd look at the in-between, which is standard 70. So it's a thicker stock, but it's inkjet printing versus laserjet. Very technical. But the options are there, and the drop-down print and shipping calculator will tell you exactly what it costs based on the trim size, the page extent, whether it's hardback or paperback, and whether it's black and white or colour, and which option of colour. So, you know, again, there's no surprises in terms of the design of, you know, the ultimate cost, but it also helps publishers decide how they're going to, you know, create the book in the first place. You can play around with that print and shipping calculator on the generic website. It doesn't have to be, you know, the book doesn't have to be already set up in your account, but that helps you visualise the book and decide, knowing what the cost is going to be.
Yeah, I use those resources all the time, or I refer my clients to them, particularly trim sizes, when before obviously anyone starts designing anything for the book, we have to we ask the author, what size do you want the book? And so I just send them the link to your trim sizes and say, just choose one of these sizes. Whether or not you're going to a traditional publisher or not, you probably will also at some stage using them Spark, so exactly. Choose one of their sizes. I use that all the time.
Yeah, I think it's really useful. It gives ideas, because people often don't realise how versatile the system is and you know, what the options are. So it's a really great tool for, as I say, sort of conceptualising the layout of the book. And, of course, when you've actually finished designing the book, it may not be 200 pages, it may be 150, it may be 300, but then you just go back and check again. And you might decide that, oh, I've written a few more words, I don't want to colour it in an editorial sense, so I might choose a larger format because that's going to sort of present more, you know, attractively to the market. So, yeah, there's all sorts of reasons to avail yourself of that resource. And the other one that I think you might have touched on is the publisher compensation calculator that actually tells you how much you're going to earn once you price the book for market. So you put in all the same variables, the trim size, the page extent, the type of binding, whether it's white or cream stock, so you've got that option as well. That doesn't change the price, but it does, you know, help the costing process. And the other thing that doesn't change the price, but you also have to decide on for a paperback and a hardback, is whether it's gloss or matte for the cover. And those elements are very much, you know, personal preference. But you might find that a business book tends to be on white stock versus cream stock, just as an example. So do your research in terms of other books in the market, but then put all those variables into the publisher compensation calculator and see what happens if you price the book at $29.95 with a 50% discount versus $24.95 with a 40% discount. So you can actually see how much you're going to make. Because what that does is it calculates it for you and takes off the cost of print, and you'll see what is your return, which we refer to as the publisher compensation, on a sale to the retail market.
Yeah, definitely. And the other beautiful thing that people can do is when their files are uploaded, they can choose a sample which has got maybe a matte cover and white pages, and they can choose a sample that's got gloss cover and cream pages, get them both sent to them and make their final decision from real life books in front of them. So it's a great system.
Yeah, and just on that note, if you've approved your e-proof, so when you upload your file and you receive the e-proof, you should check that carefully. Everything looks fine, you've approved it, you order a sample copy, and you find the one typo that nobody saw in the whole editorial process. We know this is very typical, it happens in mainstream publishing. Often they might have printed 1,000 copies and they think, gee whiz, that what are we going to do? They have to sell it through. In our case, when it's print on demand and you've printed one copy, or even if you've printed 10 copies, it is not the end of the world. You upload a revision file. Or if you happen to get a quote, once the book's out and about and someone really, you know, famous or even, you know, someone not so famous writes a quote about the book that you think, gee, that should go on the back cover, upload a revision file. Mm. And you've got this kind of, you know, live, organic, you know, way of maintaining the currency of your book without having to sell through an entire print run, and just kind of, you know, keeping it alive. And it also means that, yeah, you don't have to, you can do a new edition down the track, but it just means that if you want to maintain that ISBN, you're literally just updating.
Yeah. I know in my case, I did a print run of my first print run, and then decided I wanted to just tweak the subtitle a little. So I just got the cover file updated and uploaded, and my book now has a new subtitle. So, yes, yeah, it's great. Awesome. All right, look, I'm just very mindful of time. So I might close our conversation now, but look, there's so much we could keep talking about. And I just would encourage anybody who's entering the self-publishing world just to go to your website. So can you just tell us the website address, please, Debbie?
Well, you can just look up Ingram Spark, all one word, in Google. And you can also contact Ingram Spark in Australia, just Ingram Spark Australia at ingramcontent.com, and that will reach, we've got a staff of, you know, three or four people, including myself, and we also have obviously all of our people on the floor. But we love to hear directly, we're here to help. So that's the other thing about Ingram, is that, you know, we're not some sort of bot or help desk that's far away. We're actually here in Australian working hours, and we provide, you know, very fast turnaround service. As I say, we don't produce files, but we guide people in, you know, recommending all the service providers, or that they, you know, avail themselves of those production experts. And then we help them with any questions about setting up accounts or uploading files or placing orders or even tracking orders. So, you know, it's very accessible, it's economical, it's revolutionised the publishing industry.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting industry. I absolutely love it. It's a very cerebral exercise, but it's creative, and it's, you start with an idea, you end up with a tangible product. It's pretty awesome.
Correct. That's why I love it.
Cool. So, okay, thanks for joining me today, Debbie. It's been really awesome to talk with you, and I'm sure we'll talk again. I'm Bev Ryan, and people can find me at smartwomenpublish.com.